They really have been. And Jordan's had to take a crash course in all things technology. But that being said, Happy New Year. And I'm sure, I'll get my throat clear. I'm sure that everyone in here was as excited as I was for the football game last night. Can I feel the love for the Texas A&M Aggies winning the Orange Bowl? All right, yeah. Chris Foster, he's an Ohio State Buckeye fan. And I gave you a bunch of grief the whole year. And Chris, I am so sorry, okay? I'm very sorry, sir. Very sorry. Anyways, okay, you didn't have to stand up. Okay, all right, very good. Well, fantastic. It's good to see you guys. Hopefully, we're ready for 2020 to be done, right? I think everyone kind of agreed to that. And we also realize that turning the calendar does not mean that that's necessarily going to happen. But we do have hope for what we hope will be a wonderful 2021. And we have our hope not in a vaccination. We don't even have our hope in, okay, it's been long enough. We have our hope in Christ, right? We have our hope in Christ. And God is using this. We look at it as, and I'm probably in the front of the line. We look at this year and sometimes we think, what a wasted year. What a wasted year. But my friends, God wastes nothing. Nothing. We waste things, but God does not. And so I need to be reminded, and I said that for nobody else, for myself, that in the midst of this challenge, God is not desiring to waste it, okay? So we are going to continue in our study of the book of Matthew. Before we do that, I want to give you just a moment quietly to pause and do whatever you've got to do to kind of just get your focus in on the fact that God is present, God is here, and wants to meet with us right where we need to be met. So take a moment to do that, and I will pray, and then we'll get into our study. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for bringing us together. And thank you, God, that you do not and have not shown us all of your glory. We could not handle it. We see glimpses of it. We get peaks of it. But Father, we know that there will be a day because of your work and because of Jesus' redemption and his saving work on the cross, that we will be able to see you. And we will be in wonder and awe. Father, I pray as we open up your word now that we would approach your teaching, your words, humbly, knowing that you, Lord God, do not want to waste this time at all, no matter where you come from or where we come from, I should say, no matter what spiritual walks we have in this room. Some have been walking for a long time, some just started, and some are not even begun. But God, you have a way of meeting each and every one of us right where we need to be met. I pray you would do that through me. I have nothing to say, God, but you have everything to say. Please speak through me into the lives of every person here that you love dearly and have a plan and purpose for them. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you guys are here present. I love the fact, those of you that are live streaming, I love the fact that you're tuning in. We are continuing our study of the book of Matthew. And to do that, I want to ask you to use your imagination for a moment, or maybe bring reality in for sure. But I want to ask you, take just a second, and I want you to close your eyes. Don't freak out. I'm not going to do anything crazy. Let's just close our eyes. And I just want you to picture your financial future. What does that look like? Just take a moment to think about, what does your financial future look like? Okay, eyes open. What did it look like? Were you afraid to look at it? I have, in asking that question or in having conversations about financial matters, I find three responses, and I find two of them predominantly and one to a lesser degree. The first one that I find that's rather common is when you talk to people about their financial future. Look into your future. Are you ready for your future? They're not. And the way they choose to handle that is to ignore it, to act as if they'll figure it out when the time comes, sadly not realizing that they can't wait that long. And so it's like they stick their head in the sand and they just think, if I just forget about it, I don't have to deal with it. And then the second very common response is, no, I realize my financial future is out there and I know that I should be ready and I'm not, and so now I'm worried. And as a matter of fact, I worry about it a lot. And then there's a third group. I think they're less represented. The third group is, you know, I have been thinking about it. I have been planning for it. I'm making sacrifices now, knowing I have a certain desired end. And I think I'm going to be ready for it. And that's where God would want all of us. That's where I would want you to be, and I'm guessing that's where you'd want me to be. Well, this morning, as we study the book of Matthew, we continue to study the book of Matthew, and what we're talking about very specifically the last several weeks has been what Jesus is called the Sermon on the Mount, and it's his greatest sermon ever. It's the longest sermon ever. It's the most powerful sermon ever. And what it is it's explaining this new life in Christ. It's this new life in the kingdom of God, and it's a real kingdom with a real king. And they're real citizens, and there's real boundaries and borders, and there's real life in this kingdom. And so Jesus, starting in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, he explains what that life is like, describes what it looks like, what the experiences are like, what the rhythm is like in that kingdom. And we come to this morning, to today, where he takes on the future, knowing that we have to provide for the future, knowing that we have a financial future in the kingdom of God. And Jesus realizes that there's much anxiety and stress related to that. And that is not what he wants for us. And so we're going to look this morning at Jesus' financial investment strategy, actually, knowing that our financial future is uncertain. We have no control over it, right? You and I, we don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what natural disaster might come. We don't know what economic downturn might happen. We don't know whether we're going to make it to retirement or can we pay the house off. We hope, and hopefully we're planning for that. But the reality is we don't know. We just don't know. And so Jesus wants us to be prepared, wants us to be ready so that we don't have to worry. And that's what we're going to look at this morning, is we're going to look at his investment strategy. And he's going to explain it. He's going to compare and contrast the two options that are there. And then he's going to defend what he believes and what he teaches. And actually what he commands is the way for us. So with that being said, I'm going to ask you, get your Bibles open, your Bible apps open here and online, and let's look at your table of contents. You have an Old Testament, you have a New Testament. I want you to find the book of Matthew, which is the first book of the New Testament. And turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. You'll be at chapter 1 from your table of contents. And we're going to look at the last part of chapter 6 so that we can address, through the teaching of Christ, how do we invest our money in a way that makes our worries about money leave, not be empowering, not where we have to stick our head in the sand and just forget about them, but to really, truly be anxiety-free and worry-free about our financial future. I hope you want that. I know I want it for myself. So with that in mind, starting in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus says, and what I want you to, as I read this, I'm going to read the whole thing. The first part, from 19 to verse 24, he is going to say the same thing three times. But he's going to say it a little bit differently. He's going to use some metaphors to describe these two options as it relates to investing in our financial future. Beginning in verse 19, he says, "Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? No one can be a slave of two masters, since he will either hate the one or love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot be slaves of God and of money. This is why I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, that your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth much more than they? Can any of you add a single cubit to his height by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Learn how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, and he's making a reference to the richest man at the time, back in the day, in the Old Testament day, who had everything. He says, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You have little faith. So don't worry, saying, what are we going to eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the idolaters eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. I hope you heard kind of the way in which he pitted two different analogies or symbols with each other. He said the same thing three times, but in a little bit different way. Right? He talked about heaven and earth. He talked about light and dark. And he talked about God and money. And Jesus is basically saying there are two investment options. Now, he ends this by saying each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus is acknowledging we're in a broken world. We're broken people. He acknowledges that money and our future investment and what we store up is connected to worry in some way, connected to anxiety, and he wants to relieve us of that, acknowledging that because we're broken, because we live in a broken world, this is there, this is present. Worry's possible, but I don't want you to be anxious. I don't want you to be worrisome. So what he does is he gives us two options, only two. He breaks it down. I mean, I don't know if you've ever, some of you have certainly sat down in front of a financial advisor, or maybe your employer gave you, here are your investment options for your 401k or your retirement plan or whatever, and you're like, I'm overwhelmed with information. Jesus makes it very simple. He says, you will either invest in heaven or you will invest in earth. It's that simple. And what he does is he begins to explain each one of them, and he compares and contrasts them. And I want to start with the first investment option. And he says, treasures on earth. He goes, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't store up for yourself treasures that are here. And the treasures that he speaks of possessions. He has in mind money. He has in mind experiences. He has in mind places. The things that we put our money in here in hopes that we will get out of and fill the hole that's inside of us because of our brokenness, the peace, the excitement, the joy, the purpose, the meaning, security, and those kinds of things. And Jesus says one investment option is that you can invest in the things of this world. But notice what he says first is this kind of investing is when you collect it for yourselves, he says in verse 19. And then later down, he says in verse 30, let me find this here. He says, verse 31, so don't worry saying what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear. He says, for the idolaters eagerly seek these things. He's making a connection. Notice the connection. He's making the connection between this type of investment strategy, this type of perspective and focus, which is investing on the things that are here. And he says, don't be like those who do that, in which he refers to them as idolaters. Idolatry. Idolatry in the Bible means when you love something more than God, when you seek from something that God has created, what only can come from God, the person. And so when we are seeking to find those things and invest in our future in earthly things, we are, like he says, the idolaters that are eagerly chasing around trying to fill that hole that is inside of you and inside of me. And it has an outcome. And he says, let's look at that investment strategy. The first thing he says, it's unsecure. He says, where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. Again, we don't know how long we're going to live. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't have control over these things. And so if we invest in that which is temporal, that which is uncertain, then we should expect an unsecure asset, an unsecure investment, which leads to the second aspect in investing in the earth, and that is a bad return. He says, the eye of the lamp of the body, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Darkness in the Bible, it means loss. It means lost. It means grief. It means evil. It means destruction. And what he's saying is if your eye is on the earth, that's your focus, that's your perspective, if that's where you're looking to invest in to get what you need, he says darkness will come from that. There's no return on your investment in that way. As a matter of fact, what's really even kind of concerning is he says, so if the light within you is darkness, how deep is that darkness? In other words, there are some people who believe that they're investing in the right things. I mean, we can deceive ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we can deceive ourselves. And we've got to be really careful. So the question is, well, how do I know if I'm not deceiving myself? We'll touch that in just a moment. But the point is, you can. I can. And we need to be really careful because what we think we're doing, he's saying, your return's going to be, it's not going to be good. It's going to be characterized as darkness. And then he says, you cannot be slaves of God and money. The implication is that we're going to be slaves to something, and we are. Every one of us comes in this room, we are a slave to something. We have surrendered and submitted ourselves to something. It might be how you look, it might be where you work, it might be your ability to think, your ability to make money, it might be your health, it might be your children, it might be God, it might be Jesus. But we have surrendered and submitted ourselves to something. And what Jesus is saying is if you choose option A, investment A, investing by storing up and collecting for yourself stuff here, he's saying not only is it unsecure, not only will you not really get the return you're looking for, but my friends, you have just enslaved yourself to money, to the pursuit of money. I imagine we have some stories in here of people who hitched their wagon to making money and could tell us what that cost them. Maybe you're in the midst of it right now, realizing, I thought that that's what I was supposed to do. That's the American dream. I thought that's where I would find happiness and security and my identity, but it's not. But what I want you to know is feel the weight of these words. He says, no one can be a slave of two masters, since he will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. And then he pits money and God against each other. Now here's the weight of this. If your investment strategy and your collection for the future is looking here and is focused here, then in a way what Jesus is saying is that is taken by God as hatred towards him, as you or me despising him. I mean, just feel the weight of that. This is not something to play around with. I mean, this is very important to really understand that. I mean, Jesus is not mincing words here. I think he's being very clear as to if you want this investment option, then understand that you are putting yourself in opposition to God. Last I looked, God's undefeated in that way. Now, why is this investment option, as we read it, as we just listen to Jesus kind of say, here's what you're getting, why are we so drawn to it? Why is it so tempting? Why are we lured to the things of the earth? And we are. I mean, it's hard not to be. Well, one reason is because we're broken. We were born with a spiritual disease, with this hole in our hearts that we try to fill how we want, thinking we're finally going to be happy once it's filled up. But it fills up for just a moment, and then it's something else, and then it's something else. And because of our sin nature, because of our disease, we're insecure. And we compare to other people, and we're always wanting something more. We're never content. We're never satisfied. And the world is happy to keep throwing out new editions of this and new editions of that, new places to go, new things to buy. And we're attracted to that. We're tempted by that. Advertising does a wonderful job. Social media. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I suspect that everyone in here at some point has been swiping. And all you're seeing are these posts from people. And you're thinking to yourself, gosh, I wish I had that. Wow, I wish I could go there. Wow, I wish my spouse was like that. I mean, social media, and if we let ourselves and advertising, they're trying to create in us needs that don't have to be there or that can be fully met in Christ. And so Jesus lays out, here's the option that people choose. Now, there's a second option. And Jesus refers to it as, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Consider treasures in heaven. Now, what does he mean by that? Generally speaking, what he means is it's when you take the money that God has given you, and I take the money that God has given me, and we sacrificially and we generously give it towards the things that move the kingdom of God forward. Remember, we're citizens in a kingdom. It's a real kingdom. We have a real king. And the borders and boundaries, we're to keep moving out. And when we use our money for that, that's the investment that Jesus is talking about here. Now, very specifically in other places, actually chapter 19, Jesus says, if you want to store up treasures for yourselves in heaven, he says, give compassionately to the poor. Give to the poor. We'll never be able to get away from that, ever. And when you support mission work and missionaries, when you give to local churches, you're supporting, you're investing in heaven. At High Point, we're aiming to know Jesus and make him known. I mean, that's our kind of our slogan. And the A is for activating our faith, the I is for impacting our world, and the M is for multiplying disciples. We're trying to take the resources that God gives us through you and other places. We're trying to use that to really move the kingdom of God forward, aiming to know Jesus and make him known. And what does Jesus say about that investment option? Well, he says it's secure. He says it's secure. He says moth and rust will not destroy this. Thieves cannot break in and steal and take this. Knowing that, he says it's a good return. He says the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is good, in other words, if your eye is on investing in heaven, he says your whole body, in other words, your whole life will be full of light. And light is used in the Bible for blessing, for hope, for good things. So Jesus is laying them out. And then the investment in heaven means you're not a slave and a servant to money. You're a slave and a servant to God. Again, you only have two options. Please don't think you have more than two here. You really don't. Jesus is not giving us that. If you believe what Jesus is teaching, he's not giving us more than two options. He's giving us two. He says, you're either going to be a slave to money or you're going to be a slave to me. And I'm just asking you, which one do you want to be a slave to? I mean, is chasing money, and there are some of you in here, I know, that drives you, the idea to really make money, and that's not a bad thing. Please don't hear me say it's a bad thing. But if it's an ultimate thing, now you're investing in the earth. You can make money. God has wired you maybe entrepreneurially. Maybe he's blessed you with a desire, and you can use that for the kingdom of God. And I would encourage you to do that. But when you make it an ultimate thing, when your treasure is making money, that's where you get sideways, and that's where you become enslaved. But the other option is you enslave yourself to God, and how can we not trust a God who loves us so much so that he sent Jesus, his son, here to live a perfect life in our places? And then when he died on the cross, we sung about it, right? When he died on the cross, God's holiness was satisfied as he directed the judgment for the sin of all of humanity right on the body and person of Christ. And when we put our faith and trust in him, we receive the benefit of Jesus' perfect life and death. How can we not be enslaved? How can we not want to surrender to that person? And then Jesus makes his pick, doesn't he? He says, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth, but collect for yourselves treasures in heaven. But my friends, notice that it's not merely a pick. It's a command. Jesus is commanding that. Commanding that. And then he takes away, and I know some of you, I've been one of them. I've been sitting out there listening to Jesus going, how can I do both? There's got to be some way I can do both. And I actually, when I initially went to work in the marketplace, my thought was, I'm going to be the best Christ follower at the CPA firm, but I'm at the same time going to try to enjoy all the benefits and perks of that. And man, that is a rough walk. That really is a tough thing. It's tough because you can't do it. And Jesus is saying, you cannot both serve God and money. You can't invest in both. You just can't do it. And by invest, again, I mean putting your whole life and making it the treasure that you pursue and seek. Now, you can enjoy the things of the earth, please. And in a moment, part of my homework will be, go out and enjoy that. They're God's blessings. But enjoy them secondarily to what is investing in the kingdom of God, which is moving the kingdom of God forward. And again, remember, it's easy to be deceived, which begs the question, well, how do I know then? How do I know where I'm investing? How do I know that? Well, let me answer it this way. First is, where's your perspective? Where's your focus? Right? Because when Jesus says that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, he's talking about location. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. He's talking about a location. He's talking about a perspective. He's saying, where are your eyes fixed? Where are they fixed? And I'm asking you, where are your eyes fixed? Where are my eyes fixed? When you get up, when you're walking around, when you're thinking, when your wallet is in your pocket, or when your purse is over your shoulder, what are you thinking about? What am I thinking about? Are we thinking about earth? Or are we thinking about heaven? That's a good question. It's a good place to start in wondering, where am I investing? And notice what he says. He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's saying, where the things that you value most are, your heart's there, and your money's going to follow. It's not going to be hard to figure it out. What do you cherish most? What do I cherish most? Because that's where our heart is. That's where the treasures are. Are they in earth? Or are they on earth? Or are they in heaven? Secondly, very practically, just look where your money's going. Just look where my money's going. Where's my money going? Step back and as I look at my checkbook, as I look at my bank statement, as I go on, where is my money going? Is it going towards the things of heaven, or is it going towards the things of earth? It's not hard to figure it out. But thirdly, and maybe most easily, to know where you're investing and where I'm investing, follow your worries. Right? Jesus makes this connection in verse 25. This is why I tell you, he says. I've just talked about, and I've said it three different ways. There's two ways you can invest, and one's going to will bring you into light. One's going to lead you into the darkness. One's going to make you a slave to money. One's going to make you a slave to God. He says, this is why I tell you, don't worry about your life. He's saying, when you choose investing in heaven, when you're at peace with God being your master, he goes, then don't worry. Don't worry. But my friends, we know that money makes us worry. Just me talking about this now, if it's created any kind of anxiety, or any time you're spending money on anything, I mean do you get anxious? Do you worry? Because your worry will show you where your focus, where your perspective for your financial future is pointed. Follow your worries. And let me just say this. It's been amazing over the last many years. The average household giving for charitable causes is 2% of household income. That tells me there's a lot of worrying. That tells me there's an awful lot of worry. At least in I don't know if that was a point of emphasis on someone's part, but hopefully that won't happen again. Anyways, That's in the life of Christ's followers, when we're called to, right, to give sacrificially and joyfully and generously and compassionately towards those who are in need. I don't know. That's a scary number. I will be the first to tell you, I really don't believe there's a number. I think it's between each person. But I think it gives some perspective. And the amazing thing is when we invest in heaven, it's a win-win. Because that's a way that our worry is taken from us. It's disarmed in our lives. And it moves the kingdom forward. We'll come to that in just a moment. But let me show you what Jesus does now. Is he's just said, here's the pick, here's the choice, here's the option. This is the one you want. Now he defends it. Now he supports his reason. And he does it in two ways. And the first way he does it is he says, through reason. He's saying, how do you want to chase your money worries away? Invest in heaven. And he's showing how that investment is secure. How that investment has a wonderful return on it. How that investment makes you, where God is your master, you can't be in a better position than that. Invest in heaven. And he says, if you don't take me for that, then understand how I support that decision. And first he says, through reason. Be smart. Use your head here. He made reference to the fact, he goes, the birds of the sky, he says, the wildflowers of the field. He goes, look at them. They don't worry. And God takes care of them. And then he says, won't he do much more for you? He's saying, use your head. Don't let worry gain ground in your head and in your heart. Use your head. Tell yourself when worry starts to creep in, wait a minute. He takes care of the birds. He takes care of the flowers of the field. How much more valuable am I to him than they are? So, through reason, we have to reason. Our worth and value is so much so to God that we trust in his promises. Why would he not take care of us? Because we're so valuable to him. Secondly, he says in verse 27, can you add a single cubit to his height? He says, you're worrying. And what he's saying is, does worry really help you? Has it really gotten you anywhere? And it's a great question, right? Whether it's worry about financial matters or anything else, does worry ever help us? Now let me pull out of this idea of worry for a moment, the word concern. We would hope in here that people are concerned about going out and getting a job so they can feed their families, right? That's important. So having some concern about those things is one thing, but to worry means to frantically run around and be worked up in such a way that maybe you become paralyzed and you don't do anything out of fear. Or maybe conversely, you go the other way and you don't care about relationships or anything about your physical health. You're just powering through to get food on the table. That's not healthy either. That's not healthy. Worry is not helpful. Jesus says, just use your head on that. Just think about that. Then secondly, not only does he use reason, but secondly, it's through exercising our faith. He says in verse 30, you of little faith. He says, you of little faith. He goes, if that's how God creates the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. Worry reveals a faith problem. To which he responds in verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of his God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. How do we grow out of worry? How do we live out and beyond worry? Well, we use our heads. We remind ourselves of the truth of God's word. But then secondly, what we have to at some point is we have to engage and invest in heaven. We have to stop believing it and saying we believe it and actually do something about it. And then once we actually step out, and when you step out and I step out, and we begin to truly give towards the things of heaven in a way that costs you something, in a way that you feel it, in a way that you give up something, what you find is God does carry you. He does catch you. He does provide for you the things that you need. And that grows your faith. It's a win-win. Your faith is strengthened. The kingdom of God has moved forward. Or maybe, let's add a third one. God is incredibly glorified. But here's why I want to reiterate. Have fun too. God has given us a wonderful creation to enjoy. And it costs money to do that in places and at times. And God's saying, hey, enjoy that. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God. Get the priorities right. Give and invest in the things of God and the treasures in heaven first. And then after that, have fun. After that, enjoy God's creation. God is not a Debbie Downer. He is not, let me just rain on the parade. He has created something beautiful and wants us to appreciate it. So I will close in asking you kind of the question that I began with. Do you want to get rid of the financial worry about your future? Do you really want to be able to just kind of rise above that? My friends, the answer is to invest in the kingdom of God. Put your treasure and store your treasure up in heaven and not on earth. And with that, let me challenge you this week by saying and challenging you this way. First, please stay connected. You have to stay connected to God through prayer and worship, through reading the Bible, through just having time alone. You've got to stay connected. I've got to stay connected because that keeps our perspective and focus where it needs to be. It says the eye that is good, in other words, the vision that's looking towards heaven, that's looking to invest in heaven, that is where the good return comes. And the only way I know to do that is to stay connected to God. You can't just come in here one Sunday, get your little fix, and then for the rest of the week not do anything at all, stay connected to him, and expect that worry's going to go away. It's just not going to happen. Secondly is, believe it or not, you are the best preacher you will ever hear. You are the best preacher you will ever hear. And what you've got to do is you've got to preach to yourself the truths of God's word. When worry starts to creep in, what you've got to do is you've got to go, wait a minute, no. I am more valuable than the birds of the field. I am more valuable and more splendid to God than the flowers of the field. And look what he does for them. No, I'm not going to worry. I have the truth and promises of God. Preach to yourself, my friends. You are the greatest preacher you will ever hear. And then lastly, put your faith to work. Jump out, engage, and invest in heaven, and watch God catch you and hold you and see that his promises and all that he wants to provide for you, he's faithful, and that will strengthen your faith. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for the power of your word. And God, I pray that every word spoken, if it's not from you, God, may it be left here. But Father, what is from you that came through this imperfect, infallible person, Lord God, I pray would find its way into the hearts and lives of everyone that's here. That we would be the people of God, that we would invest our treasure, collect up for ourselves treasures in heaven where nothing can take them, nothing can destroy them. And you'd be glorified in it all, Lord. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.